We have so much for which to give God thanks, even more than we know, but most certainly there is no more precious gift from God to man than that he would send his only begotten Son. As the angel spoke to the shepherds, sharing good news of great joy, which is for all the people, so does their message hold true for us today. In the city of David, there has been born for you and me a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And all the church said, Amen. Thanks be to God. Though we who are of the faith remember Christ and his incarnation year-round, I am thankful that by the divine providence of our sovereign God, a specific date, December 25th in our case, is identified as Christmas and celebrated the world over. Think, church, of how many would not so much as consider the birth of Christ, except that there is the Christmas holiday. Of course, as we well know, this leads to some intense disagreement. The controversy concerns, of course, not so much the holiday Christmas, but the Christ of Christmas. This trouble began back when Jesus was born. As they just read, Herod sent the wise men to find Jesus, and Herod said, so I may go and worship him, but that was not the truth. Herod was lying. His goal was to do away with this one who was going to be called the King of the Jews. Being threatened by this newborn king, he actually tried to eliminate the Christ child by having all the male babies murdered. That controversy of Jesus has gone on ever since his birth. In recent years, there's been much talk about the war on Christmas, and certain organizations and companies seek to make a substantial profit by taking advantage of the Christmas holiday, but then they refuse to identify Christmas as Christmas. This is also a season when issues concerning separation of church and state are brought to the forefront. Bloomberg columnist Stephen Carter wrote, Christmas is right around the corner, meaning that the time has come for the usual passel of lawsuits and threats of lawsuits, of bitter divisions over words and symbols, in short, of all the usual trimmings of the Christmas season. Already this year, the national news media has reported of a couple of cases of litigation concerning the separation of church and state. In the great sprawling metropolis of Knightstown, Indiana, which boasts a population of nearly 2,200, the ACLU filed a suit on behalf of a local resident. As the city annually erects a decorated Christmas tree, it has been their longstanding tradition to top the tree with a cross. Oh, my. The suit complains that a Mr. Tompkins, in the course of his everyday affairs and travels in his hometown of Knightstown, is forced to come into direct and unwelcome contact with the cross display, and thus he is being caused irreparable harm for which there is no adequate remedy at law. He sought to have the cross removed and to be awarded monetary damages and proper relief, whatever that is. The town knew they would lose the case, and so they removed the cross. As a result, unknown Knightstown is now known the world over. And the cross on the tree that was occasionally seen by relatively few, now via media coverage, has been seen by millions upon millions the world over. The suit by which some meant to put the cross away brought the cross to the forefront. That little-known, little-seen cross has now been viewed by vast millions. Further, it is reported that the saddened townspeople have erected crosses on their private property to the point that there are more crosses on display in Knightstown than there are residents. I don't know what kind of additional stress poor Mr. Tompkins might have brought on himself through this ordeal and the outcome, but I would like to say, and seriously, out of compassion, that Mr. Tompkins, no irreparable damage has come to you. For whoever comes to Jesus Christ in faith, believing that he was born and died on the cross, is actually healed of their sins, forgiven, saved, and made whole. So my encouragement, sincere, for Mr. Tompkins is to come to the cross, not deny it, but come to the cross of Jesus. For through Jesus Christ, God has freely given us gifts that money cannot come near to buying, gifts such as love, joy, and peace. Where some would take the cross down, the Lord himself employs their foolishness as a means by which the cross is exalted. And then there are those who are offended at the Merry Christmas greeting. Some of these prefer to say happy holidays. But what they miss is that the word holiday, if we go back far enough, comes from the words holy day. That's been lost to most people, but look it up in the dictionary. If you have a good dictionary that goes back, it comes from the words holy day. Though they may not mean it that way, when they say happy holidays, we understand them to be saying happy holy days. On December the 5th in St. Augustine, Florida, a diner expressed his offense that the restaurant where he ate played some religious-themed Christmas music. He wrote his complaint on the back of a receipt. Christmas music was offensive. Consider playing holiday music or less religious-themed. Considering the word holiday comes from the words holy day, I hear the complaint this way. Christmas music was offensive. Consider playing holy day music. To us who trust in Christ, every day is a holy day. And so the Christmas holidays are holy days, and I might add, quite happy days at that. Personally, I'm as glad to be wished happy holy days as I am Merry Christmas. God prevails in the midst of the nonsense of this world. And then there is the written greeting, Merry Xmas, X-M-A-S. Now, while it is God alone who knows what is in the heart of the individual who puts out the Merry Xmas, whether they meant to X out Christ or not, we should understand, no matter what is in their heart, that Xmas is an actual and legitimate abbreviation for Christmas. And so please allow me to unwrap this present for you. In the first centuries, it was common for the church to use symbols and abbreviations for a number of reasons. Symbols were used, even as they are today, as a means of communicating to the illiterate and foreigners alike. Where one could not read or did not speak the language, they wouldn't understand a symbol, what a symbol meant, much as we understand the meaning of the internationally accepted symbol for a stop sign. I've been to several countries. I see a stop sign. I may not be able to read what it says on that stop sign, but I know it's a stop sign. That red octagonal symbol is a stop sign. So no matter we be illiterate or a foreigner, we recognize what that means, stop. In that day, they use symbols to communicate. Further, symbols are an abbreviated form of communication. That is, a symbol says a lot just in a picture. The symbol of the cross instantly communicates what would take volumes to write. True? Another reason the church used symbolism was to avoid persecution. The ichthys, the Christian fish symbol, was used to mark Christian meeting places and tombs and to distinguish believers from foes. They also used abbreviations for a couple of other different reasons. Writing materials were very precious. Look, they didn't go to the computer and the word processor and the printer and put out as much as they wanted like we do. The writing materials were very precious. And so abbreviation was a means of conserving those resources. It was common that where a name was going to be presented in a document, that it would simply be repeated by abbreviation. They would only put the first letter of the name in the article, so that everybody would know who they were talking about. And then also, like symbolism, the Christians abbreviated so as to avoid persecution. Within the body of the ichthys fish symbol, within that body, the Christians wrote five Greek letters. The Greek letters Ioa, Chi, Theta, Upsilon, and Sigma. Each letter was the first letter of a word. Iota was for Jesus, Chi was for Christ, Theta was for gods, Upsilon was for son, and Sigma was for Savior. Thus, the letters Iota, Chi, Theta, Upsilon, and Sigma was the abbreviation for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Chi was the first letter for Christ in the Greek, and in the Greek alphabet, the letter Chi looks like our English X. With that in mind, then, consider that when in 1436 Gutenberg invented the printing press, it was with movable type, and that typesetting process was arduous, and it was costly, and again, printing materials were expensive and rare. So to save time and save money, abbreviations were common. Religious publications regularly abbreviated the name Christ with an X, meant to stand for the first letter in his name, the Greek letter chi. By no means were they Xing out Christ, but simply abbreviating his name by using the Greek letter, the first Greek letter of his name. In the same way, they referred to Christian and Christianity. Christian would be X-I-A-N, pardon me, and Christianity would be X-E-N-I-T. That's how they did it. So X-M-A-S was an abbreviation for Christmas, and it was commonly used and commonly accepted among the Christian community in as early as the 1500s. No slight intended. In saving time and resources, the publisher meant to preserve the name of Christ in the tradition of the early church. And then, like any other abbreviation, such as MR, period, like Mr. Insignius. We don't say Mr. Insignius, do we? We say Mr. Insignius. Like any other abbreviation, it's meant to be pronounced out. So with Xmas. I'm saying it wrong. It's to be pronounced in full. Christmas. It's an abbreviation. When one sees the abbreviation, they are in error to pronounce it Xmas. The abbreviation is to be fully pronounced Christmas. Thus, dear church, the name of Christ is not X'd out, but abbreviated and to be fully pronounced. Now, what if someone writes X-M-A-S with it in their heart to X Christ out? Ah, they do so out of ignorance. For the X stands for the Greek chi, which is the first letter of Christ, who is the Christ of Christmas. So, though they have X'd out Christ, X'd him out of their heart, they have unknowingly identified him as the Christ of Christmas. When we see the abbreviation Xmas, we can rejoice, for they either have rightly abbreviated Christmas in the tradition of the early church, or if they meant to X Christ out, well, the joke is on them. In thinking they deny him, they have mistakenly fallen the tradition of the early church, and they actually speak of Christ. So see, church, God has a wonderful way of preserving his word, his truth, and his Christ. One might declare war on Christmas like Herod by killing the babies or by the happy holiday saying or even by trying to X Christ out, but on every account they fail as God always prevails. The Christ of Christmas prevails in church. He always will. I want to ask you today, have you tried to X Christ out of your life? Now, I'm not asking you if you agree with the Christmas celebration as it is. That's not my concern. But my concern is, have you tried to X Christ out of your life? Have you tried to deny him? Do you follow him? Do you believe in him? Do you celebrate Christ each and every day of your life, or are you trying to ignore and reject him? Do you celebrate an occasional holiday here and there, or as one who trusts in Christ, do you have a holy day every day? No matter how one might try, they cannot X out Christ, for he is the one conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin, become the incarnate God, God with us in human flesh, who lived and died on the cross and rose from the dead to save all who believe on him. One can spend their life and all their energies resisting Christ, but that is a futile effort, for God is the one who always prevails. When men think they are denouncing Christ, Christ prevails. Learn, if you will, from the failed attempts of King Herod and Mr. Tompkins and all who would X Christ out. Jesus lives. The cross remains. His name is eternal. He is not X'd out, but he is lifted high and magnified. Here I have some good news of great joy. In the city of David, there is born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And if you will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved from sin and death to life everlasting. Like the shepherds who came believing and found the Christ child, will you come to Jesus in faith believing and in him find your Savior? Come to the Christ of Christmas.